That brings us down to our first report, which is on the subject of missions. And the chairman on that subject is Brother Chris Solomon. And along with him are Elder Jarvis Rippey and Brother Kevin Haley. So, Brother Solomon, are you ready? Brother Solomon.
Good afternoon to you. I appreciate the confidence of the selection committee in allowing us to do this today. We certainly ask that you indeed pray for us this morning. But we were given the subject of missions, and we will take our subject, our scripture from the book of Daniel in the second chapter, verses 34 and 35. Thou sawest till that stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. In the passage preceding the text, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar had a troublesome dream and was determined to find the meaning. After some time, Daniel the prophet was called to interpret the dream. He told the king of a great image that he saw in the dream, which was the image of the kings who would reign over Israel. All these kings would be over immense kingdoms here on earth until the time the heavenly king was to come. In the dream, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands is symbolic of the kingdom that the heavenly king would reign over, which is the kingdom that will destroy the kingdoms of this earth. It would be many years until that kingdom would come, but we see the promise of the kingdom coming and what will take place when it arrives. That stone which smote the image in the dream became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The earthly kingdoms were restrained in the power and ability to rule, whereas the kingdom of the Most High is not restrained by the objections of man or sin. The power of the heavenly kingdom is given by the Creator, the I Am, and is not hampered by the power of men. What does this have to do with missions? We first must define what a mission is. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines mission as a sending or being sent, usually the latter, a being sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business, commission as sent on a foreign mission. It is believed that the stone is none other than the church of Jesus the Christ set up while he walked this earth. We find that in order for the interpretation of the dream to be fulfilled, the church must fill the whole earth. This is the reason for missions and missionaries going out and to preach the gospel to every creature. The people of this world need to hear the gospel, for without it, there is no hope of eternal security. Their lives will most assuredly end in destruction. We find the commission that was given to the church by Jesus himself. He said, "Go ye therefore." There wasn't any indication as to where to go. He just said, "Go." There were stipulations on what they were to do when they got to where they were going. Teach all nations, tell them about who Jesus was and what he will do, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we are to take the gospel that was brought to us and distribute it freely and generously. We find that from the time the commission was given even until today, missionaries are sent to specific people or places to preach the gospel to them. That sending came both from the Father and the church itself. Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius, and Philip was sent to the chariot of the eunuch, just to name a couple. After they received the preaching of the word, they were converted according to the will of the Father and baptized according to the commission. The responsibility to carry out these things has not gone away. We as the church left in the world are still under the same requirements as the first church was in the book of Acts. We are to continue to go. One of the most detrimental hindrances to the commission is that men of God are not always willing to follow these commandments. Most of our church houses sit in places where the truth is apparent and abundant. Our people, for the most part, are segregated from the places where the truth is not. If we take a ride in our vehicle in any of the four directions, it doesn't take long to find ourselves in a place desolate of true gospel. The religions of the world do not shy away from these places, and neither should we. If we looked almost any church roll, you would find preacher after preacher attending services there weekly without fail. Preachers did not receive a divine calling to merely attend services rather than preach. Those men of God found sound in the faith would not have to travel far from their homes to find places desolate of the gospel. There is an abundance of lost people in close proximity of each of our church houses. We would do well to send them to these places that the truth might go out to a lost and dying world instead of allowing them to sit and do nothing. There are some who have been willing to leave their homes and families and go to places far away in pursuit of the gospel. I salute those men for their faith and bravery. My main objective is to remind our churches that it's our responsibility to try in every way to go and bring the gospel with us to places that are without. They started in Jerusalem and spread from there. If we start in close proximity of our individual churches, we can spread from there. In closing, the definition given to us by Mr. Webster states that they are sent or delegated by authority and with certain powers for transacting business. Those men sent must be men with the ability to carry out the business that may need to be undertaken. They not only need the ability, but the authority to carry out the business. The church has the authority to do these things, ordain ministers, and send them to places to carry out the work of a mission. A mission set up in hopes that a constituted church be placed there and continue to do the same as was done there should be the ultimate goal. Most, if not all, of the churches represented here came in the same way, through the work of a mission. With all the things that are taking place in the world today, it's time that the church exercise her authority. Respectfully submitted, Elder Christopher Solomon.
Thank you, Brother Solomon.
All right, brethren, you've heard the reading of this mission report. What's the pleasure of the association?
I have a motion to adopt.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and second to adopt. Brother Solomon, you have a 10-minute opening speech.
As you may or may not know, this time last year, we were ourselves out working a mission and trying to bring the gospel to a place that was very nearby where we live. And I live over in Lafayette. And as all of you know, there are many, many churches in Macon County. But as we look to the neighboring county, we find a place to where there was not much gospel at all. And the Lord sent us out there, and we tried to follow after His will until He gave us the liberty to leave that and to pursue other things. And that was the catalyst of my thought. You see, we live here and we live in all these different places, and there are some places where you're what I'm talking about. But for a lot of us, our churches are very close together, and there are a lot of them. And you don't have to go very far to find a place where they don't know what the true gospel is. And I think that falls right upon us as God's people. Mostly, it falls upon us who God has called to carry His word. You see, when I left the mission, I went from preaching 3 to 4 Sundays a month there to sitting back on the Amen Corner at Macon Missionary Baptist Church. And it didn't take long for me to get tired of that. Because I wasn't doing what God had placed upon me to do. But as we see, there are a lot who are just content to come to services and sit and amen the preacher. But God didn't call us to preach for that. God called us to preach to go. He called us to preach to preach. And that calling in the ministry is divine, and it is heavenly, and it is undeniable. And if you're here and you have had that same calling, you understand what I'm talking about. And if you have not, then there's no way that I can explain that to you. But I think it's time that we as God's churches that we consider the fact that there is a world of people dying all the way around us. And when we stand in that line of judgment, I hope that there's none of us here who will see the blood of those that are required of our hands. You see, I think sometimes we forget about that kind of thing. That there is punishment and judgment for the things that we don't do that God has asked of us to do. And I say asked, and we say that God, you know, God asked us to do these things, but it was much more than an ask. It was a commandment of God. We say that God asked us to do this just simply to be polite about it. You know, we when we look back in history, and Lord willing, here in a few weeks, we'll be heading to Virginia to see the history tour again, and as we see that, and we see the man Lewis Craig. I'm sure all of you have heard that name, Lewis Craig. Lewis Craig, he did fight persecution, great persecution. He was jailed, I believe, on 3 different occasions. And when he got out of jail the last time, and God gave him leave to go into Kentucky in order to find not only freedom for himself, but a people who needed to hear the gospel. And from that, I'd imagine that if not all of our churches here, but most of our churches here would go back to Lewis Craig when he left Virginia and came into Kentucky. And if Lewis Craig had not done that, where would we be today? We don't know. The things that we do, God can take and He can multiply that endlessly. And it's just our little things that God requires of us to do. So while we think about this and while we consider this, let's just remember, above all, that there's a world of lost people out there. And they need to hear the gospel. And we proclaim that we love one another. We proclaim that we love this lost world. We proclaim all of these things, but what do our actions show? Do our actions show that we show up on church on Sunday and we do nothing? Or do our actions show that we try to go out and to talk to people and try to go out and to tell them the truth? And as I said, since I tried to go out and to do this mission work, I have a great respect for those who do this, who go in the mission field and who go and they try to work with the people and to bring them in. And I have a much more respect for those who are willing to go as far as God leads them to. And I'm thankful for you today. Because without that, there'll be no spread of the gospel. And I believe that to be true. You see, when they got that commission, that full commission, that they could go into all the world, they left from Jerusalem and they went out in the four directions. And they taught the people. And they brought a people in that were originally not able to be brought in. But they went to the Gentiles. And I'm so thankful. Amen. That God allowed those men to go to those Gentile nations. Because again, the majority of us here, if not all of us, come from those Gentile nations. And I'm so glad that God saw fit to do that. But there's nowhere for us to even begin to think that our work is done. If anything, there's more work to do now than there was ever before in history. I don't know that there's ever been a time when there was any more difference in what people call religion and what people call truth than what we have today. But we know that one truth is evident. We know that one truth is what it takes. And we can't keep that to ourselves. We gotta tell the world about it. We gotta tell those who are lost. And if we don't go into the places where the lost are, how do we expect to be able to teach somebody who's not already been saved? If we don't go to places where the lost are and try to get them to come into our church houses or go to them and preach to them specifically, how are we going to expect lost people to hear the gospel? Because I guarantee you this, the God of this world will hamper them from coming in to his house or to God's house so fervently that we hardly ever see it happen. But we have to go to them because that's who we're against. We're against the God of this world. And brothers and sisters, we've seen many times where the God of heaven has restrained the dragon and his people have prevailed. And I have no reason to believe that that can't happen even today. Once again, I know I didn't use all of my time, but I appreciate the selection committee and I appreciate this opportunity to present this to you today.
Brother Jarvis Rippey.
I did not talk to Brother Solomon about what his subject could be. And there's a lot of things you can talk about mission, just lots and lots. And I have a verse of scripture that I would like to read from the third chapter, book of 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a master, wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, others built thereon, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that really was a whole lot of what he was talking about when he was talking about what he had on his heart. I thought a whole lot about what I'd like to say. I thought a whole lot about calling him and asking him what he was going to talk about. And I said, no, it's not a habit of mine. A habit of mine is talking to the Lord and let him touch my heart. Amen. That's the way I've always done it. Lord, you tell me. And I really believe in today's world that we live in, we need to do that. If somebody doesn't have a place to preach, and I've heard people say it, I don't have any place to preach, I'll just start doing mission work and that'll give me a place to preach. You need to go back home and pray a whole lot. That's where you need to be at. You need to be back home praying a whole lot. If you don't have a burden to go someplace, you need to be at home. You need to be praying a whole lot. I did some mission work. And the Lord would touch my heart. And I'd start praying. And I'd tell my wife, I need to go do so and so. And she said, you sure do. My wife always knew before I ever said anything. And if you ain't praying enough, if your wife knows what you need to do, you need to go home and pray. I was a young boy, not ever been saved. I was lost. And you know what bothered me and touched my heart and really made me want to get saved was one day I caught my mother in the corn crib at the barn praying. And you know what? She mentioned my name to the Lord. And I knew he heard. And when God hears, it'll have an effect. When you work for the Lord, make sure that you're doing what he wants. Don't jump up and go do something on your own because I'll assure you, you will fail. You will fail. Man doesn't know very much about how to do anything, but God does. And God never fails. If you did something good in this world and it lasted your lifetime, how long would that be compared to eternity? Wouldn't mean nothing, would it? None at all. You do it, and if it's just you doing it, it might last your lifetime. But on the other hand, it might not even last that long. But if you let God do the building, it'll last forever. And forever is in eternity. And eternity is a long, long time. Long, long time. I'd like to read one more verse of Scripture, if I can remember where it was. Sometimes I have a problem with that too. It ain't because I'm old now, just because I don't remember everything. Except the Lord buildeth the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the locked watchman waketh in vain. And that is so true in the things that we do in this life. Just think a minute. Think about even our old churches we have in old Macedonia where I live, and it's quite old. 1873 wasn't yesterday. But it has a reputation that still lingers today as well as it did when I was a little boy. Or as it did 100 years ago. That reputation. Now you say, now, those people up there, they're pretty hard shit. That's all right. Let them call us hard shit if they want to. Thank you. I really said what I wanted to say, and I'll just let the next person say what he thinks. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Rippey. I'm trying something new this year. I don't think I'm being very successful at it. I may go back to my old watch here in a minute. All right. On this same subject is Brother Kevin Haley. Brother Haley, you don't want to say anything? With all your experience in Guatemala and everywhere, you don't want to say anything?
Brother Haley's not here.
Yeah, not here. Oh. What's your name?
I'm Brother Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is my stepfather, but he could be listening.
Okay. Well, I knew that.
Could be a whole lot worse, I reckon.
All right. All right. All right. All right, since he's not here, then anyone else wish to speak on the subject? Brother Snot.
Brother Solomon, amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this real quick. As a young minister, there was a preacher's wife. If I would get into the position where that I didn't have many appointments to fill and places to go preach, she would send out letters on my behalf. It is our responsibility to go preach. It is the church's responsibility to make sure that our young preachers and our preachers go preach. Shirley Sierra. Who knows what that name means? Or who knows that name? I know there's three or four that do. You might have heard her name is Shishi. Exactly what Brother Solomon's report said happened. In July, I was privileged and honored to be able to accompany all three of the Skinner men to Guatemala. And we got to teach, we got to talk, but on Thursday night, as we were gathered together and we were having service, all through the week this young lady had been asking questions and we had been teaching. Goes along with what Brother Phil said, that we don't go to convert. We go to teach the gospel and let the gospel convert them. And all through the week, she'd been asking some very serious questions. On Thursday night, she got into a condition that she couldn't go any further, and the Lord gloriously saved her soul. Because several years ago, somebody went and followed the leadership of the Lord. They didn't sit on the benches. And it wasn't just one person. There's been several that have gone. There's been several that have taught. There's been several that has preach in that area. There's lots of missions. You don't have to get on a plane and go to Africa. You don't have to get on a plane and go to any foreign country. The brother said, you can walk out your back door and find a mission field. Most of us within our families can find a mission field. I liked what Brother Creasy said to tie that together. What are we afraid of? We're not preaching because we're afraid of something. What are we afraid of? Guatemala is the church. Nueva Vida is still surviving. Brother Edgar Barrios is still trying his best to lead that people. There'll be several of us, my wife and Brother Carlock and his wife, and maybe my son will be going in January. And we're going to try to do some teaching as far as some of the individual offices and responsibilities of church members. So there's a lot of teaching that needs to be done. There's a lot of prayer that needs to be done on their behalf. They were very distraught when we got down there this time that we hadn't been in over 2 years. Not that we can do anything to teach or to, that we can do anything to build their church. That's between them and the Lord. But we have a responsibility as their elders in love and in the church to teach them how that they need to behave and how that they need to conduct themselves. So y'all pray for us. We will try to go again, and we're going back in January. And I made them a personal promise that if somebody didn't come, that somebody would be there at least twice a year. I think we owe them that if they're holding on to the gospel, and that they need us. Brother Reynolds had asked me to convey our appreciation to all those that have financially supported the work in Guatemala, that have prayerfully supported the work in Guatemala. It is beyond measure the things that our people have done for those people.
Thank you, Brother Snoddy. All right, brethren, the subject before you. Anyone else wish to speak on the subject?
Brother
Reynolds.
Express my thanks personally. I'd like to thank everyone that has supported the work, and we have a number of faithful churches that have been very, very supportive, without which we could not do what we've been able to do. And I did want to say this, that annually, at least, a report is sent out to all of the regular supporters detailing the total finances that were received and expenses that were incurred. And we've been able to stay ahead of what they need just to sustain them a little bit each month. And has added up over the time and has enabled us to pay some expenses for needed efforts like the one that was just done. And a short time before, I think it was in March, I sent a report to all the supporting churches, and Brother Porter has just published that report in the Macedonian Call. I appreciate him doing that very much. And in that, I had made the commitment that Brother Jay had already made, that these brethren would go down there a short time after that. And sometime in the near future, we'll gather his data and any that we need to from the Brother Skinner that went along, and get out another report and detail some of that. Now, I only send that to the churches that are supporting us regularly, but that's available to any of you. If you're interested in it, I'd be glad to share it with you in its entirety as far as what is sent to our supporting churches. And so I thank you once again for the effort that's made. And we're still rejoicing over the young lady getting saved. That's the third young lady that's been saved in recent times. Two have been baptized. They're still hanging in there. And so we have high hopes that they will continue to do that and that the thing will build up slowly. The language barrier, you wouldn't believe how I've prayed over that. I have a hard time hearing you speak in English anymore, and I cannot learn the Spanish language. But the youngest of the Skinners, Brother Ryan, he's, I'm going to say, very fluent, to my understanding, in the Spanish language as well as English. And we have high hopes that he can be useful. Pray for him. That this is something that I have anguished over for a number of years, because I have a number of lessons that I have written in the past for that preacher down there to help him in any way that I can, things that the Lord has really led me to. And as far as I know, in most of those cases, those lessons have never been taken to him as yet. A few have, and the ones that I've sent down there that have been translated got a good response back. They want to be taught. And yes, we need to get down there as much as we can, those who can, and strengthen that. But any way that we can get that teaching to them, because they're the ones that are going to have to take that to their fellow citizens and beyond. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Reynolds.
All right.
Brother Chandler.
My heart's sitting there pounding because I have a burden for mission work. As most of you know, I've either been directly or indirectly involved in mission work for almost all of my adult time trying to serve the Lord. And I've got three different things on my mind, and I hope I don't take more than my 5 minutes, but Brother Reynolds, have you heard from a young man named Brandon Mahaney? Brandon Mahaney. Have you heard from him? Brother Claiborne, do you have a young preacher in your church by the name of Brandon Mahaney?
Yes, sir.
He preached at Sulphur Fork about a month and a half ago. He is a Spanish teacher, preaches in Spanish. I spoke to him after service. He told me he had a burden for that work. I asked him to get in contact with you. I'm going to put Brother Claiborne to task to remind him of that, because the need is there. And we have the capability, and the young man did a marvelous job preaching, and I could only imagine how that the folks in Guatemala would appreciate someone who could come and teach in their own language. And you know, the Lord is so amazing. We work and labor to try to learn a language and to try to prepare things, and God just takes care of it just like that. Now, I can't commit that young man to what God might have him to do. But just as Brother Solomon said, when the Lord called us to preach, he called us to serve where the need is. And it's not always that we get to choose where we're going to go or what we want to do. Sometimes the need draws us there. And that, there's a great need for that young man with that talent. Even if it's just to translate Brother Reynolds' messages and lessons, to send them down there. I'm going to leave that with you. I have a burden for the church in Guatemala as well. I've not gotten to attend there. I was there at the organization, I know the need that is there. They're sweet, wonderful people, and many of our preachers, that's the area that they work in, and I support them and encourage all of you that the Lord would lead that way to help them in that work. But I also have another burden, and that is a burden for the little church in West Virginia, Fairhaven. See, when the Lord called me to preach, and I was in West Virginia, and Brother Reynolds was so gracious to allow me to preach there at Old Time very often. He would stand aside and give me the opportunity to preach, but when the Lord called me to do some mission work in the area where that I lived in 1986, that developed into eventually Eureka Missionary Baptist Church, and through a few name changes is Fairhaven. The need is still there, Brother Ivan Smith. And I suppose if there's anything that a preacher cherishes in his heart, it's when the Lord gives you a spiritual son, one that you can teach, one that wants to learn, one that grasps and digs themselves. Not that you hand feed them, but you just put them on the right trail and leave them alone, and God will help them. And that's the way Brother Ivan was. Brother Ivan's gone. The Lord took him home, and there's still a need there. And I know many of you, brethren, have gone that way. Brother Snoddy has done and continues to do a wonderful job to try to make sure that there's someone there. But you know, he can't give you the burden. You need to go. If you're not preaching somewhere and you say the Lord's called you to preach, call Brother Snoddy. He'll help you get an appointment there. I've talked to some of them from there, and you know, they have a burden for a couple of preachers who have come that way, but they're worried about whether or not that they would take the call because it's such a small church. But those preachers that they're asking about, I know them from times past, and if the Lord laid it on their heart to go there, they'd go, regardless of how difficult the field was. So we have to learn to trust the Lord on both ends, not just the preacher, but the church needs to learn to trust the Lord as well. If they have a burden, Brother Jimmy, I encourage you to take this back to Fairhaven. If they have a burden for a man, they can't look at his life and try to determine whether or not this set of circumstances would prohibit him from coming, or whether or not that they could help him find a job. Leave that to the Lord. The Lord knows how to take care of those things. And if the Lord's called them, they'll go. But you have to do your job as well. And finally, I want to mention Africa. You know, I never wanted to get into the African mission work. There are so many that have been involved in it over the years and continue to be involved in it. They're much more qualified than I am. But when I took the pastorate of Sulphur Fork Church, thankful to the labors of Brother Reynolds and others, Sulphur Fork Church had been supporting the mission in Cape Coast for nearly 15, 18 years, at least that. And so I got involved because I felt responsibility as a pastor of the church to keep them updated and to keep them informed of what their money was being used for and how it was being used. And a trip to Africa made me realize that that's been money well invested. It's been money well invested, not just in Cape Coast, but all over Ghana. But folks, we're down to the second generation. You see, those churches are beginning to reach out now. And Brother Samuel, who has been a wonderful spiritual father and leader of that work, he's not a young man anymore. And the Lord will take him someday. So we have to continue to think about that second generation. Brother Creasy mentioned that there are financial needs. There are financial needs all over that area. But what they need is our spiritual support as well as our financial support. And I want to encourage you to do something. And I'm not trying to tell you how to handle your finances or anything like that. But I like working through the church. I like working through the church because they're the ones who have the responsibility to send out and to reach out. And I would encourage you that are supporting missionaries over there, don't discontinue supporting them, but support them through the church. Sulphur Fork chose to do that, and it's brought us closer to the work. Rather than just knowing the one individual, we get to know the church and to have confidence in the church. And they get to have confidence that we will help them. And so I would encourage you to do that. We are a very generous people. A couple of pleas have gone out over the last year. One is for Cape Coast. They had a need to build a place for their second generation pastor, Brother Victor O'Neill. whom will be going over to assist in the ordination in a couple of 3 weeks. But they had a need to add on to their building that they might have a place for their pastor and his wife to live. And when the call went out, our folks stepped up so quickly that I had to actually send out a letter and say, stop, we've got enough money for that cause. Send the money where there's another cause. And then recently, there was a great need also in Cape Coast for a van. You see, those people there, they don't have transportation the way we do. And that particular area, because of where the church building is located, they really, really need transportation. And so we made a plea during the missions conference at the minister school. And beyond our imagination, the Lord not only provided the finances that we'd asked and felt that we needed, he provided someone who donated the van and all the things that go with it. And it's on the water right now with Cape Coast written right on the side of it. Soon be there. So I, again, on their behalf, I want to thank you for your generosity and let you know that your money is being well spent in Ghana, because it's reaching out and continue to work through the churches. Because those churches, yeah, just one more. Those churches are doing a fabulous job of reaching out into their own community. Just like Brother Solomon said, they don't have to go very far. They go right in their own communities. And so it's a real encouragement to them when the churches here take part in what they're doing. A trip over there is well worth the time and the effort. It will give you a burden for that labor there. If you can't go to Africa, go to Guatemala. If you can't go to Guatemala, I'll tell you what, do what my wife and I used to do. Whenever we would plan a vacation, we'd look to see where there was a mission close, and we'd go to it. Amen. That tell you, there's nothing, that money is wonderful. It truly is. We need it to operate in this world. But there's nothing like having someone come and visit you when you're at a small mission, even if it's just the next state over. Take some time and go visit them. Let them know that you really care. It'll mean all the world to them. And I want to thank all of you who over the years have helped us, my wife and I and my family, as we've tried to labor not just in West Virginia, but at other fields, in a foreign field, in Australia. And to you young preachers that might feel the burden to go out on a mission field, even if it's up to West Virginia, do not go with the attitude, well, I'm going to go for a couple years and then I'll come back home. That's a sure sign of defeat. If you've got a light at an end of what you might think is a dark tunnel. When we went to Australia, we sold our house. We took our furniture with us. We didn't just unpack our suitcases. We threw them away. Now, we didn't know how long we were going to be there, but I could not do the work that I needed to do, because I'm telling you, it's not always easy. It's not always easy, particularly on a family. But you have got to commit yourself to that work. And if the Lord allows you to ever come back to what you call home, I call anywhere home anymore when the Lord's there. I'm not confined to a piece of real estate. But if you go thinking, well, I'll just go for a couple of years and then I'll come back home, then the Lord's not going to be able to work as nearly as well as if you go and say, Lord, I'm here as long as you need me here, I'll stay. And that's my encouragement to you. I appreciate the time.
God bless you. My fist didn't make enough noise. Okay. Brother Creasy.
Sure. I don't know when to stand up for this. I have a report from the Old Time Missionary Baptist Church to the association that we run the we run a Ghana fund out there. It focuses on northern Ghana, whereas Brother Chandler, their Brother Danny. They're down in the south. So to summarize, we support three preachers with $200 a month. Now, some people will say, well, that's not very much, but a lot of times people there only make $75 a month for their for what they do. So we try to give them twice what the people are, so they can help distribute that to other people. The Brother Philemon Akanko, Brother Joshua Paya, and Brother Kojo Ampung, they are all preachers. They all are doing that. We could, there's about six more we could support if we had the money. We don't. It's not the kind of money where you can say, well, just give it to me this time and that's it. We need constant, steady support. We have some churches in this association that help me with help us with this, this year we've given $8,750 to Ghana. There's a couple of other projects that need to be done that we needed to give some. We gave some to Brother Owusu for some of what he did, some of his orphans in the schools. Gave some to Brother Akanko to try to get a place for him to stay. He was renting a place for $2,000 a year, and we could build him one for $4,000. So it doesn't take very much to build them. They don't need a lot of insulation and stuff like that. You know, the four walls and a roof basically is what they got, and a floor sometimes. But they're glad to get it. We, Brother Paul, gave him some money last year for the school up around Prang. The chief gave them some land, said, here, you can have this land for your school. And somebody plowed it up and planted. They couldn't get in there. So once the guy harvested, they said, we're going to have a meeting on our land and build a school, so everybody bring a stick. So they brought a stick. Everybody, they met, and all the people that were wanting to build the school put a post in the ground and put a roof frame over the top, a little bit of plastic, some grass on top of that, and the walls were made out of woven grass side, and they had a school. That's the way they do things. They do it the best that they can with what they got. They got lots of grass. So they build a school out of grass. But if anybody, I'm very proud of of God's people. I am proud. I can't not be of God's people for what they've done in the support of the people in Northern Ghana. There are about four churches that we need to build. Takes between $8,000 and $4,000, depending on how much land it costs to build a church. These are things there. These are places that need churches that are currently meeting. One place is meeting out under a tree. Another place is they started to build a church with mud bricks, and the rainy season caught them and it melted. So they want a place to be. Brother David Gagne, a brother that came 100 miles to see me, hear me preach, sat down when after he was with us for 2 days, went home, sat down and wrote the Southern Baptist a note and said, I'm not one of you anymore. I'm not following your way. And then it wrote Brother Samuel a letter and says, what I need to do to be part of your organization. And he told him, and he joined the church at Mount Zion and is doing mission work in Wa. He has four other preachers up there that help him. There's four preachers up there, so that's five preachers altogether. And we just barely send him a motorcycle so he can get from one place to another. But we just don't have the money to support him. We need to look at these people. We have an opportunity, and it's there if we will just take it and run with it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Creasy. Anyone else wish to speak on this subject of missions?
Moran, I have a short letter from Brother Rick Jones, if it's all right.
This was addressed to the Siloam Missionary Baptist Association. It's dated September of 2018. It says, I am sorry I am unable to attend your association this year due to setbacks and health issues this summer. A nerve stimulator implant to ease my spinal disease had been canceled until November due to the heart stent surgery in July. I remained at home enduring my affliction, but I am encouraged by the reviews on the success of the operations and changing the lives of those who have had the implant. Please pray for its success. I have made several trips to Jamaica this year, and since last association, two have been saved, three have been baptized, for which we give God the glory. Dr. Mike's clinics were another success. I also want to acknowledge my unsung hero, Elder Scott Carter, and his church friends for their mission efforts to aid the church in its construction of a dormitory for future mission groups as well revival work. I want to convey my heartfelt thanks to all of you for your prayers and support of Jamaica work and soon come to the Bahamas. I recently reapplied for my work permit and hope to hear back on this before the end of the year. Should the Lord close the door on this new mission work, I will then pray and seek His guidance as the Holy Spirit reveals and leads us in our ministry. In His Majesty's service, Elder Rick Jones.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Carter. All right, anyone else on the subject of missions? All right, the question has been called and seconded to end the discussion and adopt the report has been read. Anyone wish to speak to the motion? If not, all favoring the motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. I hear no opposition and the motion carried.
Moderator, do we need a motion to put Brother Creasy's report in or do we need 3 minutes? Or?
Did you want it put in the minutes, Brother Creasy?
It'd be good.
Okay. All right. What's your pleasure? You want to add this report into the minutes under the subject of missions?
So moved.
Second. All right. A motion second to add this report to the minutes. Anyone want to speak to the mission? To the motion.
I didn't read it word for word. If you want to read it first.
Okay, Brother Carter, you want to read? You can't. Okay. I thought you said you can't.
No, I said I can't. I can read his writing better than I can read my own. So.
Okay.
Says, to the Siloam Association, the Ghana Fund was established several years ago by an old-time missionary Baptist church in Elizabeth, West Virginia. The fund currently supports 3 preachers in Ghana with $200 per month so they can devote their time and efforts for the Lord's work. The 3 brothers we currently support are Brother Philemon Akanko, Brother Joshua Apaya, and Brother Kojo Amphone. This year, the Ghana Fund sent $8,750 to Ghana. The amount includes the original support for the 3 brethren of $7,200, phones for Brother Samuel and Brother Paul Owusu, $550, and an additional gift to Brother Akanko of $1,000 for repairs on the church building at BUIPE. Okay. We sincerely want to express our thanks to the Church of Siloam Association who have so generously contributed to the fund. We pray God's richest blessings on each church who have contributed this year. Please pray for the work in Ghana, Old Time Missionary Baptist Church, Elder Phil Creasy, pastor.
Thank you, Brother Carter. Okay, we got 2 motions on the floor, so we're going to have to do this. I'm going to have to straighten this out. Okay, we have a motion and second to end the discussion and print the report that was given on the subject of missions. Anyone wish to speak to this motion? If not, all favoring this motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? I hear no opposition. So then we had a motion to include Brother Creasy's report in the minutes under the subject of missions. And we had a second to that motion. You want who made that motion? All right. And who seconded it?
Over here.
Okay. All right. So now we have a motion and second to include this.